It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Oh, you said you hated the music last time, didn't you?
Oh, not the songs, just the sting.
Oh, just this music. Too regal.
It's too regal.
Good morning, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Very well. How's the week been? Plenty on.
Busy. I'm going to say that every time. It's going to get tedious. Another busy week, Mikey.
When you walk into a new job and you're checking the cupboards and you sort of go, now what's been left here? Oh, great.
Yeah.
Right, now I have to try and get my head around this. Interesting story came up last week regarding our former Prime Minister, Sir John Key, and a little fib that he told the nation about a surveillance program called Spear Gun. Now, we tried to speak to Andrew a little about that last week, and with a limited amount of success. What's the current status on mass surveillance as far as the coalition government sits at the moment?
Actually, I've just finished going through. Of course, we have some oversight of all of our intelligence agencies through the Inspector General. I've just been going through his report, and that's a really important role. And one of the things that we certainly have advocated is when we saw in the past. Breaches. It's been about making sure that we have good self-reporting, that we actually have some oversight somewhere, an independent mechanism to say, please look into what's happening here. And so having a really strong, independent view over both of those organisations because of course, the secrecy that surrounds them is really important. And I'm quite confident that that office, the Inspector General's office, is doing a really good job at that. Do you know, though, the thing that I'm finding most shocking in the cupboards, though, are things like, the trajectory for our prison population. I think that's one of the things that has shocked me the most, that with a pretty static crime rate, we still have a prison population that is growing at a rate that would require a new prison every 3 to 5 years. Now, how is it that we could have had a government who knew that was happening and who just did nothing?
But the public knew that was happening as well.
At that rate?
Lock them up. If they're causing trouble, lock them up. It's not about jobs. It's not about poverty. Lock them up. That was the vibe.
Surely the thing that the public want to know is that we're doing things that keep them safe. And
which brings me back to my original question.
Yeah.
About Spear Gun. So I can understand as Prime Minister John Key, he adored our relationship with some of our allies, and I can imagine that with the climate of fear, maybe he felt like there was a need to have the ability to tap into anyone in the country's internet traffic. But is this sort of thing that we need to worry about now, or can we be sure that this coalition government would get all the checks and balances right, turns out that the previous government fudged the checks and balances?
Yeah, and you will have seen that we've always, all three of us, privacy is incredibly important, and we've always been the ones saying that we need decent oversight, that the GCSB has actually a really confined role, and it's not meant to include the domestic population.
Exactly. No, that's the thing. It's not meant to include New Zealanders, and that would have been New Zealanders using the internet.
So that's where, again, as I say, having that oversight over the work that they're doing is incredibly important. Of course, Andrew and I both have some role in me in national security, and him over those individual agencies, and he was one of the people that was such a strong advocate. So,
I understand, of course, that there is you can't say too much about it, but I guess it's just a reassurance to the population of the nation.
That reassurance people should take from the way that we really tackled the government and the way they were approaching privacy issues in the past.
Right. Now, the old I'm not going to talk to you about Todd Barclay. That's just he's taking the piss, basically.
Yeah, I do not understand. Knowing the way that the public felt about what happened in that situation, why you would then throw it into the public domain that you're swanning around Europe. I question the judgment. But he's obviously not someone I have any responsibility for. So really, that's just...
Now, Bill's got his back. Simon's got his back. Hey, congratulations to the government for passing the Healthy Homes Guarantee Bill.
Yeah, great. Last week.
Be happy with that.
Healthy Homes. yeah, great to be able to get that through so early on. You know, we've got a number of other bills in the pipeline. It takes a little while to draft them.
But, I mean, that's a good one. That's a big one to get through. That's a big one that was you guys were very passionate about for a long time. And that's and why the hell don't we have healthy homes?
Why, if you're going to rent something, shouldn't there be some just minimum standards that we would have an expectation you'd provide? Because actually, if you don't rent out a warm, dry home, then the taxpayer ends up picking that up in other ways through the cost of people being unwell. And so we were all better off if people are providing healthy homes. And actually, we also want to support landlords to make that transition. So we've always talked about providing subsidy for insulation and heating sources. So it's not just about saying you have to. It's about encouraging and finding ways to make it easier too.
There was an article in the Herald over the weekend about a house in Castor Bay that was charging $420 rent. I've seen that house many times, and it is a shithole. It is so bad, it is so disgusting that I can't believe anybody charges money for it. What about coming down on that? I mean, I understand that you want to make it work for landlords as well. But what about actually, you know, throwing the book at landlords who are just basically just renting out some black mold with a roof.
And that's what that book's about, saying we should have minimum expectations. You can't think of many other products and services where you could charge, you know, pretty, in some cases, pretty extraordinary rates.
And say, take it or leave it.
And then have someone who's... It's because it's a necessity item. People need a roof over their heads, but we've got to make sure they're not being taken advantage of.
Shane Jones from New Zealand First has stood up and boldly said, right, I'm sick of seeing all my nephews on the dole sitting around on the couch. Let's get them up to work for the dole. The old work for the dole concept's coming again.
And what I've been really clear on is what Shane Jones was talking about is not the work for the dole of old. Because, of course, one of the major problems with work for the dole of the past was genuine jobs being then occupied by people who weren't receiving a genuine wage. And that undercuts the labour market, and it's also, you know, it's actually also not right. If you're doing a genuine job, why shouldn't you be paid a wage? Yeah. And so that's the major difference here about what we're talking about. And we've called it Ready for Work so that people really see the distinction between those old systems and what we're talking about. And our target initially was 10,000 young people might have been on Job Seeker for 6 months or more.
Job Seekers?
Having the opportunity, the dole. That's what they call it these days, but making sure they have the opportunity then to work and build some work experience, because a lot of people, you'll hear them say, you know, I'm required to have work experience, but no one will give me that first go. So it was about trying to find ways to give that first go.
He's obviously talking about his local, which is the Northland.
Yeah.
The problem with any sort of work for dole scheme up there is, what's the new name for it? What'd you say? Sorry?
Ready for work.
Ready for work. Is that it's the key word there is work. There's no jobs up there.
You're right. You're absolutely right, which is why actually the reason that he has responsibility in this area, because Willie Jackson actually covers employment issues, the reason he has some responsibility in this area is around the job creation side of things. Our plans around forestry do provide opportunities in the north, so it's about connecting those two things together to get a bit of a win-win.
Is the fact that he's able to sort of throw this out there, is this part of the coalition deal? Is this how it works, that New Zealand First...
Ready for Work and similar programs like that, yes, we did talk about that, and it is in that agreement. As I say, the big distinction between that and the old work for the dole.
How much notice do you get, though, for Shane Jones is going to announce this in the House sort of thing? Does he brief you first, or do you just sort of hear it when everyone else does?
As he said, we're going to... All of this has to come through Cabinet, so all of us agree the details. We already had it on our work program that we would generate something in this area, both that was Labor policy and New Zealand First wanted to see something in this space too. But I've spoken with Minister Jones about this before, so the fact he was talking about it was no surprise to me.
All right. Okay. Well, a big week coming up. What's the most important thing you're doing this week?
There's quite a lot coming out in the health space this week. It's fair to say it is one of our... it is a troubled area. People working in the sector will not be surprised to hear me say that we've got real issues there that we need to deal with. You'll see the Havelock Water report. My expectation is that will be coming out this week, and it does set a pretty big workload for us to resolve some of the issues that exist around drinking water. Yep. And some other reports in the health space which demonstrate just what we're having to repair. But we'll also have tomorrow more detail around our first year free program and
for students, right,
how
cool.
that will be rolled out and how it'll work. So that's exciting.
Next week, can we talk about mental health and can we talk about suicide?
Absolutely.
I know I don't normally give you a heads up as to what we're talking about, but I think it's time now. It's been a month and a bit. Let's figure out where you guys are at with that. Okay, thank you very much, Prime
Absolutely.
Minister. Have a wonderful week. We'll speak to you this time next week.
Talk soon. Bye.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.